The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, November 27, 2011, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9, and Mark 13, verses 34 through 37. The sermon was delivered by Reverend Duke Morrow, and the title of his message was, Not Quite Prepared.
Good morning again. It's good to be back here at Geneva, the place I consider home. I've not had the opportunity to preach in this pulpit for almost 10 years now, and frankly, I don't know where the time went. I know many of you well, and there's a lot of faces here also this morning that I don't recognize. I'd like to thank Brian for giving me this opportunity to share what God has been doing in the lives of myself and my wife Lee, or maybe I should say what God has been doing to us. As many of you know, I am one of many people sent forth by Geneva into ministry. And I tell you this to emphasize the special place that Geneva was and is, and I am certain will be. We sit this morning in a place that prepares and empowers people to do God's work. Now, I can't say that what I'm called to do is all because of Geneva. There are many congregations where many are called to serve. I know I was called to ministry when I was a teenager, many decades before I ever came here. But that was a call I could easily ignore until I found myself here in a place of sanctuary, a place that would nurture and grow my call, and in the safety of a loving faith family, I finally let God in. And for that, I am forever grateful. Thank you, Brian. Thank you all, people of Geneva. Praise God. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent season when we prepare to remember and to celebrate the coming of the Christ child to humanity some 20 centuries ago. But God's people have been seeking and preparing for the coming of the Messiah for at least the last 2,500 years. They prepared before Jesus was born. And when he walked the earth, and up until today, and certainly tomorrow, well into the future. So we've been waiting, we've been preparing, we've been ready to welcome Christ into our hearts and into our lives. Our first scripture reading are words of prophecy from the mouth of Isaiah, telling us of the time before Christ, as the people of God, the children of Israel, looked forward to God's coming. I begin reading with the first verse of the 64th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. And for you, the people of God, this is the word of the Lord. God's people have turned away from their God. They've ignored God's call to holiness on their lives. And they've become so hardened that they think God has hidden himself from them. And then, the voice of the prophet calls them to remember the days when God came down from heaven and that even the mountains trembled in his presence. And finally, in his plea for mercy, Isaiah turns the lives of the children of Israel to God again as he acknowledges, you are the potter, we are the clay. Isaiah hopes for the return of God to earth, and his hope is answered, albeit not right away. And something we might want to remember, that God's answers prayer in God's time and not in our time. We need to be less impatient when our prayers are not answered immediately. But our prayers are answered, and Isaiah's hope was answered. Hear now the words of that answered hope, as recorded by the Apostle Mark. I begin our reading with the 24th verse of the 13th chapter. Jesus says to us, in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And for you, the children of God, this is the gospel of the Lord. Let's talk about being prepared for just a couple of minutes. Clearly, this passage is a warning to us to be prepared for whatever may happen, whatever may come into your life. Often this passage is included in apocalyptic biblical literature and might be interpreted as another prophecy concerning the second coming of Christ. But you might look at this passage as a call to personal preparation, as a time to be spent deepening your relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer, or maybe by doing random acts of charity, helping out God's people with love. And I certainly will find no fault with that interpretation. Clearly, we, as individuals, are called to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ to humanity. And clearly, one task of God's people, one task of Christ's church, is to do ministry in His name by sharing His love and by sharing the good news and by caring for all our fellow children of God. But let's talk about something a little different now. In addition to preparing yourself and to being prepared yourself, you, the people of Geneva, are also preparers. Let me repeat that. You are also preparers. I would not have responded to the call placed on me except for the fact that you, the people of Geneva, were and are and will continue to be preparing me for the next steps of faith, including the ones I am now taking. Maybe that's one of the things you have been called to do, even if nobody told you about that task when you joined the church. Now, if I were the only one who had taken that irresistible, difficult step into full-time ministry from this congregation, you might say that's normal demographics. It's just what's expected. But I'm not alone. The other in the last 17 years that I know of, besides myself, are Christine Barnes and Crystal Smith and Beth Delaney, Lindsay Anderson, T.C. Anderson. And there were at least two before that time, and there will undoubtedly be more in the future. At this time, it's also appropriate to congratulate Lindsay. Stand up, Lindsay. Lindsay was approved for ordination at their last presbytery meeting. She will be ordained here January 21st. Is that correct? We are proud of you. And also to congratulate T.C., her baby brother, who has been approved for candidacy, which is one more step on the road to ordination in the PCUSA as a teaching elder, or what we used to call minister of word and sacrament. But you, all of you, are part of this process. You have done well in preparing your members in their faith walk and in sending them out to the ends of the earth. The above slide is truly the end of the earth. That's where the road ends, the northernmost road in the United States. You can walk about 3 miles further out on the spit to Point Barrow. But we've been warned not to do so without a gun, because you literally become polar bear bait out there. That road that ends is only about 5.5 miles from downtown Barrow, and I use the term downtown very loosely. I've been called to be the pastor of a church in Barrow, Alaska, Ukiagvik Presbyterian Church. That should be shown above now. Now, I recognize that's kind of an unusual name, so let's try to learn to pronounce it together. Ut-ki-ug-vik. Let's repeat after me. Ut-ki-ug-vik. Okay, now, that's the easy way of getting there, but it's not quite like that. The two middle syllables there, ki and ug, are not really one syllable, but they're not really two either. If I were to try to write this out for you phonetically in English, I would not spell it capital K, capital Y, capital U, capital G as kyug, and not quite capital K-E-Y, capital U-G, ki-ug. It's almost like capital K, small y, U-G. It's kyug. Let's all try that together. Can we do that? One more time. Kyug. Okay, pretty close. Let's try the whole thing all together. Ut-ki-ug-vik. Ut-kyug-vik. All right, I'm proud of you. It took me a lot more times than that to learn how to say it right. Now, Kegvik is the Inupiaq name for Barrow, the city of Barrow. But it translates literally into something like the place to hunt snowy owls. So the translated name of the church truly is the place to hunt snowy owls Presbyterian Church. Kegvik is an outpost of faith and Christian community about 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. As Brian might have mentioned, the sun set last weekend and will remain below the horizon until about the 1st of February. The winter temperature is typically in the minus 20 range all day and all night, with a wind chill of around minus 50. It does get colder than that occasionally. Barrows is unique in that it is a desert with a yearly average rainfall of just about 4.5 inches, most of it in the form of snow, which doesn't really accumulate, it just keeps blowing around from place to place. But what's unique is that Barrow is also a marshland. When the permafrost melts, at least the top 6 inches or so, when it melts in the summer, it becomes muddy. And it's on the Arctic Ocean. When I was seeking a new call, I prayed very hard to be on the ocean. And in a very warm place. I clearly got the ocean part. The above slide is taken from the front yard of the mansion in which Lee and I will live. You can see the Arctic Ocean in the background. It's only about 150 yards away. But I told the saints, the loving people of the Kegvik congregation, my prayers were completely answered because the people there are the warmest and loving and most welcoming I've ever met. Or maybe I should be a little more specific in what I pray for. The congregation is about 250 members, and Sunday school in the afternoon has about 120 children. K through grade 8. We have two services on Sunday, one at 11 in the morning, a traditional service, which is all in English, and one at 7:30 in the evening, which is predominantly in Inupiaq, except for a brief sermon in English, which is sometimes translated on the fly. And then at 9:30 on Sunday evening, we sponsor a two-hour radio program on WBRW, the local NPR station, the only local radio station. The radio show consists of volunteers who come forward from all over the community to share their faith in both word and in song, generally without accompaniment. Now, most of you who have known me for a while realize that I am not musically inclined. But I did have the opportunity and the moving of the Holy Spirit to sing a cappella on NPR, the song Sanctuary. The above slide is the front of the sanctuary of our new church home. Getting back in a second, for those of you who are interested in hearing the radio program, you can listen to anything on WBRW because it's all live streamed over the internet. If you can't remember the call letters, just Google Barrow and radio and you'll find it. But remember, there is a 4-hour time difference. So the 9:30 Sunday evening radio show begins at 1:30 our time Monday morning. Most of you know that I'm on the progressive side of the PCUSA and have focused much of my ministry on social justice issues. And that has led to my contrasting our societal values with the values that our Lord teaches us. Now suddenly I will find myself in a community that culturally shares the same values as Christ. Truthfulness, honesty, compassion, the sharing of all resources within the community, whether they are members or not. A deep and abiding respect for God's creation. It seems like all the preparation I have done in the last 12 years, all the work I've done in the areas of anti-racism and cross-cultural communication, in the ministries of ecology and sustainability, have brought me to this place at this time. but I have doubts. Sometimes I am questioning my own sense of being ready for this, my sense of preparedness. To return to the gospel message for just a second, Christ tells us, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." What I hear in those words is that no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, I will never be totally ready for what comes next. And that's because I'm human. I do not know the future. I do not know what is coming next. All I have to do is watch. All I have to do is listen for God's presence in the people I am called to serve. I need to recognize God's self and the beauty of the creation I have been blessed with. I need to listen to hear the voice of God in that soft whispering in my ear, encouraging me to serve and to follow the great commission that our Lord commands of us in the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And that's what I will do. I go in the name of Jesus Christ. And more than that, I go in the name of all who have helped bring me to this place at this time. I go in your name from Geneva Church to the place to hunt snowy owls church. I carry with me other names. I carry Brian's name. One of my colleagues in seminary days, Bill Stewart, was a good friend. Barb and Ken Smith. Ken is the previous moderator of the Presbytery of Detroit, who is graciously here this morning, and is the man who presided at my ordination service. And I carry memories of you, all of you. And somehow, because of that, you two are now bonded together to the Inupiaq people at the end of the earth. And I hope and pray that this bonding might become an opportunity for both congregations to expand their faith and understand more about ways of living in Christian community. A community that welcomes everyone into its loving arms so that no one is ever left out in the dark or in the cold. And I learned about that community here at Geneva. I learned that I am never alone, that God walks with me in that cold and dark place. I learned that all the people I have served and will serve in the future will be bathed in love by your prayers. And I know that you will continue to prepare every member of this faith family. Prepare them for the best of their ability to be ready for whatever comes next, for greater service to God. Prepare them for a deeper faith. I know that you will watch. For whatever God blesses you with, whether it be perceived as a challenge or as a wonderful gift. And like me, even if you feel to be not quite prepared, you have been prepared. You are prepared, and you will continue to be prepared and to prepare others, because you are all a child of God. Amen.
I invite Lee to come forward as well. We're going to have a blessing for Duke and Lee. I know Duke is the one that officially is getting called there, but Lee also is a faithful Christian, and as Duke's wife also is going in faith up there as well. She'll be going up there, as I said, at the beginning of January. They're both remarkable people of faith, and we want to pray a prayer of blessing upon them as they undertake this new adventure. We know that God will guide them and be with them. We want to surround them with a special anointing of God's grace. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the privilege we've had in this church to journey with Lee and with Duke through the past 17 years of ministry together, and to watch them take on challenges, to serve in ministry, to grow in faith. Now you've called them to a wild adventure, to a place at the end of the world, a place where trees don't reside, but you do. We pray now that as you lead them there, that you would be preparing their hearts and their minds more deeply for the call you have upon them to live in that community, to be witnesses to Christ, to also receive and to learn from the native people there a gospel that you have planted in their hearts. Surround them, bless them. We pray that you would speak into any places of anxiety or apprehension, that you would reassure them that you are well aware, that you are well prepared to provide for their need. We look forward, O God, to the gift of ministry together as we seek to be a sister church with this community of faith, looking forward, O God, to see what you will do, but only you can do, to bring forth your goodness and your glory in Jesus' name. So Duke's church, he shared with me, they are actually a mother church. They help oversee a variety of smaller churches as well. And we're going to be intentionally finding ways to partner together in ministry with Duke and that congregation to have truly a cross-cultural connection of ministry.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.